Good evening and welcome. It's great to see you. Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 18. That's page 1188. If you would like a Bible and you don't have a Bible, please put your hand up. Someone will be very pleased to bring a Bible to you. Please feel no embarrassment in that. We come to the end of our series in 1 Thessalonians, right at the very end. In this chunk, if you count them up, you might not count them up, there are 17 commands. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But the thing that we often forget when we hear a big list of commands is actually these commands are more about relationships than just getting someone to do something. It's for our good. It's for the good of the relationships that we are in, rather than just getting people to jump through hoops. And the big tone of this book is of a father that has had his children removed from him, and he longs to see them. He longs to find out how they are. He longs to give them instructions to help them to love them. So as we read this, as we look at these 17 commandments, let's have that in the back of our mind. But actually, this isn't a, I want you to jump through hoops. This is a, I love you very much, and I really want to help you. So we all should be there. Let's have a read. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's just pray quickly. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a loving, gracious Father. We thank you that we can have a relationship with you, that we can know you, that you speak to us. We thank you that that is such a mercy upon us. We do not deserve that. And please, Lord, as we look at your word, would you speak to us? Would you speak into our hearts and would you change us to be more like your Son? Help us tonight for your glory. Amen. Please take your seats and turn back with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Stronger together. Team, team, team. Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. Unity is strength. You've probably heard many of the motivational phrases getting people to work together as a team. When you work together, there's always someone else to blame. That's not actually one. I made that up, that last one. But there are loads of them, aren't there? There's no I in team. We are family. I've got all my sisters with me for the older generation who might know that song. When there is a challenge ahead, strong relationships help you to get through. through them. Maybe you can think of a tough time that you've gone through, and you can think of a relationship that has helped you get through it. Maybe a family, maybe friends. But that support and that relationship has helped you to get through it. Back in 2012, the Olympics came to London. And during the planning phase, there was a lot of talk about no white elephants being left. Not literally white elephants, but the idea of an eyesore being left. We didn't just want 3 weeks of fun, but they wanted there to be a legacy off the back of the Olympics. And they concluded, to get a good legacy, there needs to be strong relationships. In fact, they said, strong relationships will make it last. And as we land our series in 1 Thessalonians, this is the big idea that Paul wants to leave this baby church with. Strong relationships will make you last. So work at them. As you wait for the last day, strong relationships are essential to get you there. And as I mentioned earlier, there are 17 commands in this last section, but actually it really helps us to see that at the heart of this section are two very important relationships. And you could summarize it as saying this. No. Maybe me. It's fine. No. Still not. Well, you can summarize it as all sermons can be downloaded from our website, including this one, which might be the time that we get this to work. I'm sorry. Okay, so work at sticking together. So that's the first point. Can I just switch the screen off? That's okay. Posts can also be collected from the racks in the foyer next to the lift. That's really helpful. If you've got a lot of posts waiting for you. Oh, this is exciting. What do we reckon this is? Dance club? No, please shoot. Oh, your children don't play on. Oh, the stage. Oh, it's switched off. Okay, sorry. It's not switched off up there. It's still going up there. Okay, so back to 1 Thessalonians 5. I do apologize for that. 1 Thessalonians 5. Okay, what are the two big relationships that 1 Thessalonians 5 wants us to work on? The first one is that he wants us to work at sticking together. He wants us to work at sticking together. That's verses 12 to 15. And the second thing is he wants us to together work at sticking with God. Verses 16 to 18. So that's work at sticking together. That's the first relationship. And the second relationship is together work at sticking with God. And rather than doing a 17-point talk, let's just work through the end of 1 Thessalonians, focusing on these two glorious relationships that we have in Christ. So the first one, work at sticking together, verses 12 to 15. Now this isn't hard to see as we look through this passage. And right at the heart of verses 12 to 15 is this phrase, live in peace with each other. Do you see it there at the end of verse 13? Verses 13 and 14, you could summarize as live at peace with your leaders. And then verses 14 and 15, live at peace with each other. But live, in short, live in peace. Work at sticking together. Let's have a read of this little bit to see some specifics. First off, regarding your leaders in Christ. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Live in peace with your leaders. Then our passage moves on to live at peace with each other. It continues, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Two groups, but one overarching idea. Work hard at sticking together. There's a saying, a stick alone is easy to break, but a bundle of sticks stuck together is strong. It's common sense, isn't it? A stick on its own is easy to break, but a bunch of sticks together is strong. And the message is, keep together. And we don't need to work hard to see why this command is here, is it? Spend any length of time with another individual, and soon enough, you'll rub each other up the wrong way. If you've never met anyone who will rub you up the wrong way, come and spend a bit of time with me. I rub many people up the wrong way. It doesn't take long before sparks start to appear. Someone will say something, maybe, or someone won't say something. Someone will not put the effort in that you want them to put the effort in for, or someone might not be grateful about something. And there's an annoyance that boils up inside, and that annoyance, that irritation, is what leads to sticks who don't stick together. Why? Because we start to express our annoyance and our frustrations in the wrong way. We grumble to others, we try to gain support of our own feelings and views, we aren't patient with each other when they do something wrong or mess up. We start to think of ways we can get revenge, or maybe we retreat, or not do what we're meant to be doing. We withdraw the gifts that God has given us to serve the church. You've probably felt something like that before, or done something like that before, because that is naturally what we do inside. It's why we need Paul's commands here in 1 Thessalonians 5, because we so naturally do the opposite. We need to actively fight against that rather than just allowing it to naturally come out. We stop being sticks who stick together, and we start to be sticks who push each other away. And I'm going to get in trouble for this, but we end up being stinky sticks, don't we? Stinky sticks that repulse others and push others away rather than sticky sticks. It's a massive danger. And the big point is, if you're going to last, we need to not be stinky sticks, but we need to be sticky sticks. Sticks who help one another. And this first chunk, in terms of highly regarding your leaders, as I read that, that's a massive challenge, isn't it? Aren't we so quick to criticize our leaders? In the world, we see it everywhere, in the newspapers, on the internet, as we talk. Oh, my boss is so rubbish. Not my boss, Nathan, not you. You're fantastic. But don't we say that in the workplace? I definitely did. Oh, my boss is so rubbish. Teachers, maybe kids, teenagers. Oh, that teacher doesn't know what they're doing. We complain about the government. Who hasn't heard criticism of Trump or Boris or May? We've all heard it. We've all probably been involved with, in some form or another, a conversation like that. It's all around us, complaining and criticizing against our leaders. And it's horrifying when that attitude creeps into the church, isn't it? When we complain towards our leaders, devaluing our leaders through words or actions that come so easily to us. Grumbling against leaders is where cracks really do appear. Snide or backhanded comments against the leader within the church. Subtle things, but it comes from the same divisive attitude. I am massively challenged by this. It's so easy to grumble, so easy to complain, so easy to be a stinky stick. Wouldn't it be great, wouldn't it be beautiful if every leader of every single hub table talk felt like they were highly valued by the people in their group. That would be beautiful, wouldn't it? But that takes effort. That takes work. We need to be people who don't complain. I need to be a person who doesn't complain against our leaders, against the people who are over us. I need to be someone who highly regards them, who values them massively. Work at sticking with your leaders. But then the second, verses 14 and 15, also work at sticking with each other. Let's have a look at the verbs in verses 14 and 15. Warn, encourage, help, be patient, don't get revenge, but love. There was a study done regarding the most popular words in songs over certain decades. In the 90s and in the early 2000s, so up to 2010, the most popular words in songs was you and we. It's interesting. From 2010, it changed. I wonder what you think it might change to. Change to I and yeah. Take that for what you want. What a change from you and we to I. If you're interested, in the 60s, it was baby and twist. And the 40s, it was polka and boogie. But actually, it does show a big change, doesn't it? It shows that we live in a world where the big focus is on me and I. A world where my rights are more important than others. But that's not what verse 14 and 15 is about, is it? It's full of other people first language. In fact, at the heart of all these is the desire to help others to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. The picture is a group walking up a mountain and the various ways you can keep someone going. Giving them a little push from behind when they need a little help. Or a little nudge, nudging them back onto the right path. Or encouraging them from the front. Come on, keep it going, you're doing really well. That's what the verbs are. They are words to help us walking up the mountain together, all with the aim to keep someone going. When I was younger, and very, very occasionally, we'd go on a walk as a family. Maybe you've gone on a walk with a family, and this is similar. You get a range of people doing things. My mum and dad would encourage us along. Come on, keep going. We're almost there. Oh, don't walk over there. There's stinging nettles. Don't step there. There's, you know what's there. Keep going. And then you get the contrast. You get me moaning, oh, how much longer? I don't want to do this anymore. You get me tripping up my brother and sister. You get me laughing at my sister as she wandered off into the stinging nettles. Two different groups of people. Who should we be like? We should be like my mum and dad, encouraging, warning, guiding, and directing. But as I look at myself, in light of this passage, I feel that my walks when I was younger can sometimes resemble my walks as I'm older, but in a spiritual sense. Pointing at others and laughing occasionally, not encouraging as much as I should be. When was the last time we encouraged someone to carry on? I see what you're doing, keep going, you're doing well. When was the last time we warned someone, oh, be careful there. Rather than speaking to people and helping them and warning them, aren't we so naturally inclined to talk about them behind their backs? To talk to others rather than them. Someone once told me, and I think this is great advice, which I've never done. That's how great advice it is. But actually, it is something, it's hard. We should all have friends that we give permission to fish in us, to use the difficult questions, to ask the difficult questions, to help push the sensitive parts in our life, that we give permission to do that and we won't be offended by that, to help us, people who are close enough to see when we're walking off track It starts as just slightly, but a mile down the road, you are way off course. And it's great having friends who are close, who are nudging you back on the path, helping you to walk. It requires sacrifice. But isn't that exactly Jesus? He always warned and never gossiped. He encouraged, he was very patient, he always helped. He was so sacrificial that he went to die on the cross so that we, all of us, could get to the end of that final day. Warn, encourage, help, be patient, don't get revenge, but love. You can see how the opposite of this will tear people apart, will tear a church apart, will isolate individuals and help them to get broken. And you can see how these things help us to stick together, to carry on walking. You see, this walk as a Christian is hard. And the large number of commands in these verses suggest Paul thinks so too. But God gives us each other to help us along. So we should help and not hinder. We should be sticky sticks, not stinky sticks. So that's number one, work at sticking with each other. And number two, together work at sticking with God. That's verses 16 to 28. Together work at sticking with God. You see, at the heart of this second bit is a relationship with God. You can see that, can't you? A relationship with God either through doing his will, valuing his word, or having confidence in his work. His will, his word, or his work. You see these three things here, his will, his word, and his work. Let me read verses 16, his will. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Then on to his word. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Then on to his work. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And then back onto his word. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Back on the 9th of September 1980, which was very close to when I was born, the MV Derbyshire was just off the coast of Japan. It was a massive, massive boat, 91,655 tons of boat. That's a big boat, isn't it? And 42 crewmen sitting idly thinking it was safe because it was so big. It was safe until it was washed away by a massive tropical storm, never to be seen again. The largest boat ever to be lost. And almost 92,000 tons is a lot of sticky sticks stuck together. And you see, you can be a massive amount of sticky sticks stuck together, but if you're not attached to something firm and secure, when the storms get tough, you get washed away. And as Paul brings this letter into land, this is the final thing he wants us to be doing. Together, work at sticking to God. Where's the best place to be attached to during a tropical storm? It's the land, isn't it? Being on the land is the best place to be when there's a tropical storm. What's the best thing for God's people to be attached to? Together, it is God, the immovable God that we love. Together, work at sticking to God. Why do I say together? Well, we don't get to see it very well in the English, but all the verbs from verse 16 onwards are in the plural. So you could easily translate it, together be joyful always, together pray continually, together give thanks in all circumstances, together, together, together. We don't see it in English, but it is there. All the verbs are a together doing thing. Work together at sticking with God. And it flows out of the first section. Once you've stuck together, help one another to stick with God. There are no lone rangers, but together as a team. And this second chunk has 10 commands. But once again, rather than 10 points, let's use three body parts to help us. Our eyes, our mouth, and our ears. If we are together going to work at sticking with God, we need to together be looking at God, looking to God. We need to be together listening to God. And we need to be together speaking to God. That's looking to God, listening to God, and speaking to God. Looking to God. Isn't it true that our focus dictates our attitude? A greater perspective really does change our response. So a goal in a game will have one team cheering and another team really sad. A different perspective. Medical terms. The test came back negative or positive brings a different response depending on the circumstance that you have. Seeing the bigger picture really helps. I got into that university, sad or happy, depending whether you're the child or the parent, and depending how far away that university is from home. Without the right perspective, verses 16 to 18 really does seem impossible. Let's have a read of verses 16 to 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And the thing about verses 16, 17, and 18 isn't actually the specific acts that are being told to do. They're actually quite easy to do in some circumstances. It's the continualness that's attached to them. That's the really challenging, the always, the continually, and in all circumstances. If it said sometimes rejoice, sometimes pray, and sometimes give thanks, I think we'd be okay with that. We'd think, I can do that. But it says always, continually, and in all circumstances that really makes this tough. How can Paul realistically call us to do that? To rejoice, pray, and give thanks always? Well, by fixing our eyes on God, our King, and trying to see things from his perspective. This isn't a forced, trite, pathetic, make-it-up feeling type thing, but it's seeing things like God sees things. Seeing the big picture from God's point of view. And that is the only way that we will be able to do these things always, continually, and in all circumstances. You see, these responses become natural when we know that our God is always, continually, and in all circumstances in control. These responses come naturally when we see that our God is always, continually, and in all circumstances loving. It's our natural response when we know our God is always, continually, and in all circumstances molding us into the likeness of his Son. So that whatever the circumstances we are in, a bad diagnosis from the doctor, a neighbor causing us problems again, your kids fighting continuously and trying to push those boundaries, a tough day in the office, whatever the circumstances are, we know that God is always, continually, and in all circumstances good and working for our good. And that helps us to always rejoice, continually pray, and in all circumstances give thanks. Look to God. And then the second bit, listen to God. You can see that, can't you, in verses 19 to 22. Do not quench the spirit. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. Test and keep the good. And 25 to 28 at the end, have this letter read to all the brothers. Do not put out the spirit's fire, verse 19. A steam train needs its fire to keep burning if it's going to make it to the end. You don't quench its fire if you want it to get to its destination. You need to add wood, you need to add coal, you need to add the right fuels to keep it burning, to keep it going, to keep it roaring. A car needs petrol. For us to get to that last day, we need to keep the spirit fired up in us. And if we want that, we need to be listening to God. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not do that by treating God's word with contempt. If we're going to carry on, then we really want that fire to be roaring in us. God's word is essential if we're going to stick with God. I've read a few books where it warns not to let your daily Bible reading go astray. Very often, when there's a big story about a pastor that has fallen away, that has turned his back on Christianity, very often the thing that it is that they have stopped listening to God. They've stopped reading his word. And these are big, famous preachers who have done this, stopped listening to God, and who eventually decided to stop sticking with God. Listening to him helps the fire to continue to burn. And the third one is speaking to God. What a beautiful prayer. Let's have a read of this in verses 23 and 24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Paul speaking to God with those in Thessalonica as they read this out at the end. What are they praying for? That God will keep them going and keep them for that final day. It's a lovely prayer. And in our day-to-day life, we know as we look around us with the relationships that we have around us, that actually speaking to one another is massive. I heard somewhere where it said that when marriages go bad, the first sign is that the talking significantly reduces, or even in some cases stops. Good relationships share. Good relationships talk to one another. And actually we see that, the opposite, all over the place in various different ways. We know this in American football. Now, I know lots of you don't follow American football. In fact, probably only one of you does. You can actually tell who is on the field by the amount of noise that is going on in the stadium. The crowds know that if they can be so loud that the players can't hear each other, that is going to put them at a massive disadvantage because they can't speak to each other, they can't communicate. And it's often very silent when your team is on the pitch, because you want them to be able to speak to each other. So everyone's like, shh. Communication is really important. With the police, the first thing that happens when raiding a big place is that they kill the communication. They try and knock out the comms. Psychological warfare uses loud noises to take away people's communication so they can't talk to one another. And that's what Satan wants to do with us. He wants to blast such loud noises at us that we stop communicating, we stop talking to God. Maybe that's a TV program that we'd rather watch than pray. Maybe that's a computer game. Maybe that's a job with a massive paycheck that we want rather than speaking to him. Maybe that's high grades expectations, so we study rather than speaking to God. None of those things are necessarily wrong in themselves, but when they cause us to stop talking to God because we don't have time, that's when Satan gets the upper hand. I love my son, Daniel. For the first 2 years of his life, he didn't say very much, and then something switched on, and you couldn't shut him up. He just kept talking and talking about lots of things. Daddy, Joshua sneezed. Yes, I heard. Daddy, that leaf is green. Yes, I can see that. Daddy, I see a plane in the sky. Yes, me too. But you know what? I love it. I love talking to him. Even if it's really seems pointless stuff to most people, I love talking to him. I love walking back from school with him and hearing what he's done, even if it's things I already know, because it builds my relationship with him. It brings us closer. And God is the same with you. He knows what your worries are, but he wants you to tell them to him. He knows what your dreams are, but he wants you to tell it to him. He knows your struggles. He knows when you're hungry. He knows when you're happy. He knows when you're sad, but he wants you to tell them to him. Not because he doesn't know, but because it builds the relationship between us and helps us to stick with him. Paul finishes 1 Thessalonians telling us we need to work hard at sticking together, and together we need to work at sticking with God. Can I encourage you to join a Table Hub group? Can I encourage you to get plugged into one of them? This is our way as a church of loving you guys and helping you guys to stick together. It is our way as a church to help us together to stick with God. Please, can I encourage you, if you live in Enfield, if you call this your home, get stuck in with a grow group, a table group, a hub group. Because that will help you massively to stick with each other, and that will help us together to stick with God. Let me pray, and then we're going to sing, O Church, Arise. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do not just give us commands because you want us to jump through hoops. We thank you that you give us commands so that we would love one another more and we would love you more. We thank you at the heart of these commands is our relationships. We thank you that you want us to have better relationships with you and better relationships with each other. Please, Lord, would we? Would we not think of ourselves more highly than others, but would we love one another massively? Please, Lord, help us for your glory. Amen.